This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. Hey, it's 10 minutes after 8. Locker inspection has been canceled, okay? And you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today, housing. Is it as important as war? Gun control? Hunger? Well, Home Matters is a new national movement to raise national awareness of housing as a civil right and help connect more people to already existing services and activism. Hey, we are live with Dave Brown from Home Matters. Dave, we've got you, man.
Hello, Lisa. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Dave, this issue, and I spoke with you last week, this issue about housing, like, I think that a lot of our traditional KBOO listeners already feel as though housing is a movement. There's a lot of people listening right now that are active, but I think people are also very aware that the wider nation doesn't think about it, right? So talk about your vision with this new Home Matters movement. And as I spoke with you last week, you were talking about, you know, this is the beginning. It'll roll out in phases as people decide to go in a different direction in the future. But now you're at square one. This is the West Coast launch. What are you guys hoping to do right now?
Right. So Home Matters is a movement where we're articulating to America, and we definitely appreciate the activism and the awareness that the city of Portland and its residents, you know, already have around housing. It's very important, but you know, outside certain cities and towns across the country, generally America doesn't embrace housing as a national priority. We feel with this campaign and this movement that home is where it all starts. So if you have a stable home, your education outlooks improve, your health access is better, the local economies benefit, and just generally your ability to succeed as an individual or family is improved. So we feel that with this movement, which we launched in Washington, D.C. March 12th, and then our official West Coast launch in Portland on Monday evening, is that we can build awareness with the American public that, hey, as priorities come in and out and attention spans come in and out, can we get home and this the idea that people should be in a stable home on the tips of their tongues and on the forefront of what they want to talk about when they do engage in debate?
I just have to stop here on this one, too, because when I first talked to you, with you, Dave, I was like, no, this is already an issue. We know it's an issue, but it's not true. Like, in my head, I think that everybody knows that you need food, clothing, and shelter.
Right.
But as we watch these politics, actually kind of what you're doing is, in a way, when I gave it a little bit more thought, you're jumping into this situation on a couple of different levels. You're plugging into, here in Portland, in our area, Home Matters, it's you're connecting a whole bunch of different people who already are existing and working on what we call the safety net. Talk about some of the people, Dave Brown, talk about some of the people that you're working with to help educate local communities to plug in with what already exists. Talk a little bit about what already exists as far as community.
Right. So there's community development corporations of a variety of stripes all across the country, over some guess between 3,000 and 4,000, who do this work every day. They make home possible. So they do that in a variety of ways, providing rental assistance, homelessness transition, single-family home ownership, which is the bedrock of Portland Housing Center, multifamily rental, which is the bedrock of another one of our members in Portland, Reach CDC. And they're doing these things day in and day out, but no one really knows about it outside the housing world. And the housing world is very good about messaging to themselves about the great work they do, and they all know the great work they do. But we would love to relate America to the good work they do. So when America thinks housing, they probably think HUD. They maybe think Habitat, which has built an outstanding brand and has positioned its brand as recognizable among the American public in a variety of ways, and they've invested in that.
Habitat for Humanity, go ahead.
Right, so Habitat for Humanity. So outside of Habitat for Humanity, which represents a sliver of this entire industry, the rest of the industry goes largely unknown, and what we're trying to do with Home Matters is build a national movement and a brand where when people hear Home Matters, they see Home Matters, and it's a very visual, bold brand and look. They think what Reach CDC in Portland, they think Portland Housing Center, they think of the ways and organizations that are out there doing these things, and as a result, They want to volunteer with these organizations. They want to donate to these organizations. They want to bring investment to these organizations so that the power of home is spread far and wide. We feel that it is a priority. We feel home can change everything, and that if you don't have a stable home, you're not likely to succeed in life in a variety of different factors that we're building on now.
Mm. And listeners, the phone lines are open, listeners. Okay, this is Portland. We live in a bubble, right? I know. We live in a bubble here in Portland. People who are outside the Portland area, less of a bubble. So if you were a midwife, listeners, if you were a midwife at the birth of a new housing movement, okay, what do you want to make sure is included, right, in terms of actions and in terms of issues, listeners? What do you want to make sure is included in a resurgent political movement about housing and championing housing, right? 503-231-8187. You know, and this is a weird thing, and I don't mean to bring this up, but the issue that really strikes me right now, and I know you're going to think Home Matters doesn't have anything to do with this, but the three women that were held captive in that funky house in Cleveland for 10 freaking years, and the house was boarded up. That house was in foreclosure, people. I'm just putting this out. The foreclosure issue is huge. That house was boarded up. And it's all about, like, all these people living around that house and not really paying attention to what was going on in there, right? And then that juicy guy, whose name I can't remember, who basically helps the woman and her baby get out of that house, and then, you know, they calls in the police. It's like, part of what we're looking at is, you know, who are we and how do we live? And can we connect with each other to the degree that we can ensure that our own communities are not abusive, right? So, I mean, I'm stuck on that story about the three women that were held in that house for 10 years because we all want to know, how is it that the neighbors didn't do something? When we're talking about a movement about housing, we're talking about, like, the most basic thread of our communities. It's so obvious that we kind of maybe don't see it. So, and I'm not going to ask Dave Brown to comment on that issue of these girls, but that is what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's like air. And by the way, we did have some air activists on in the past couple weeks talking about what's in our air that we don't see. But Dave, I mean, to me, that's what's so interesting about it. There's so many people yelling so loud on this issue, but we don't really have a political movement with people's lobbyists in Congress talking about affordable housing. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, and it's something where with Home Matters, we're hoping to change that through what we hope is simpler language, simpler ideas and concepts about someone's home. So mm-hmm. In our campaign, in our movement, we've purposefully left out words. We've left out, you know, the acronym HUD. We've left out the word affordable housing. This is a movement to support and bolster affordable housing and community development. But we want to get people excited just generally talking about home. If you don't get people talking about what home is to them, and getting them excited that, you know, I take it for granted every day where I go home and I sleep, where I come home from my job, where I get my kids ready for school. I take all that for granted. And yes, Home Matters, you're really just stating the obvious, but can we get people to articulate that obvious, vital part of our lives, like air, water, food, and say, you know, my home matters. And as a result, my space matters. I want to make sure that if I see something strange going on at a neighbor's house with naked women crawling through the backyard, I care about my neighbor. I'm going to find out what that means. I mean, public safety is something that if you can count on your home, you have a stronger sense of the community, and you want to keep your street, your block, your neighborhood, your town safer. And we want people to express that. We feel that with Americans expressing their what home means to them, we can get them engaged. We can pull them in. When we go right to affordable housing, we go right to various parts of the HUD budget and other programmatic ways we get there, you start to lose America. America, you know, unfortunately, in some regards, they need to see the big picture. They need to see the soundbite, hear the soundbite, and in order to get engaged. And what we do with Home Matters is capture that. We want to say, tell us what home is to you. We have a website, homematters.com, that is very interactive. It's not a brochure. You're going to learn about Home Matters, but you're not going to read over, you know, page after page. You're going to go there. You're going to tell us what home is. You're going to tweet it. You're going to Facebook it, Instagram it, send us pictures. We want to get America engaged with what their home means to them, whether that's health, whether that's, you know, a strong economy, whether that's keeping crime out of their neighbors' homes. and get people talking. Home Matters is not yet a policy or political stance movement yet.
Good. I was wondering, because I was putting that out like a political movement. Go ahead.
Yeah. We want to engage people in talking in what we feel is an important issue for America, like guns, like immigration, like terrorism. You know, what is more important than where someone lives, and can we get people talking about that to start a conversation, start a debate, start engaging people in policy, start engaging people in saying, because my home matters, I'm going to weigh in when a local policy around housing comes up. When a national policy comes up, I'm going to contact Senators Wyden and Merkley and say, hey, I know you guys get housing, but we want you to get it even more and do something. And we want to have those senators and the members of Congress, local council members, hear from people they don't normally hear from when it comes to housing. That's really what we're trying to get. We're trying to get Joe and Jane Public to get excited about their home, and as a result, get excited about talking about the policies that shape that home.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a couple callers, Dave. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Joanne. Put it on a bumper sticker for us now.
Oh, I don't want to be there, Lisa. I just want to get some real help in my life, and I'm not. But anyway, here, my daughter and her children and I are alone in the world. We got reconnected in 1999. When she was on the run from domestic violence, et cetera, et cetera. We have never gotten any real help from the glorious systems to live in one house and to be a family and to work on being a family. We haven't gotten that low-income housing. And I wonder if anybody anywhere in these times knows if we really can. I want to say something else that's not going to help me. I love brochures. I hate computers. I love brochures. And I can't get excited. My body is worn out.
Okay, hon. There's Joanne. Joanne is our oracle into the reality world. And she did bring up this issue of family. I think, do we have another caller as well? We have Mark on the phone. And then I want to walk back to what Joanne was saying. But let's go to Mark. Mark, what's your take on... Excuse me, this issue.
Oh, I'm just commenting about you had talked about the three women that were held captive in a house in a low-income neighborhood, and you said that the neighbors were indifferent.
They didn't seem to know what was going on. Although, in the article I read this morning, a few people, it turns out, had seen things over the years and maybe hadn't really spoken out. But go ahead.
Well, all I can say is the opposite. I listened to Amy Goodman this morning, listened to Democracy Now. Her report was that the neighbors had repeatedly called the police to no avail, that the neighbors had observed very disturbing things, had called the police, and the police ignored their reports.
I'm going to have to go back and check that out. Thanks for bringing it up. Thanks for bringing
it up. Yeah, I think it's unfair that you blame the neighbors.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so Mark's calling me out. I didn't hear that part of Democracy Now. It just give it to Democracy Now to pull out the story that you don't always hear. And what I had read in the paper today was that people had seen things, and that the New York Times basically said that people had, they were unclear about whether people spoke out. But what Mark is saying and what Joanne is saying goes back to some of the other threads of Home Matters and this issue of housing, Dave Brown. When we look at housing like as a nation, it's often, you know what, just like food, it's commodified. It's like, this is something that we watch on TV and we watch, I don't know, it's like the home renovation things, and we're all big on that. But when it comes down to everybody in this country being on the same page just about basic housing, that's kind of what I hear you saying, Dave Brown. That's what your goal is, to kind of bring this issue back and try to just make sure that everybody understands the common thread of housing. And so Mark is also, he's calling me out on criticizing neighbors. Neighbors, housing is about neighbors and community. And Joanne's bringing this up about family too. Mark, talk about some of the other issues that the housing touches on. Communities, community policing, you know, family.
Sure. So, I mean, and this is the essence of Home Matters. We've identified five areas where we feel really connect and support this idea that it all starts at home, individual success. So this is something where I cite an example in a Boston neighborhood, Dorchester, where the CDC, the local housing community nonprofit, has been building for years and trying to stabilize that neighborhood. And once it was stabilized, and this is only recently, the entire neighborhood is thinking about how they're going to green their entire neighborhood. They're thinking about transportation issues where they have live track going through their neighborhood, but no train stops, and as a result, it takes an hour and a half for people to get downtown. Where now they're pushing for a stop there, which will take that trip or the commute downtown to 15 minutes. So that only happened because their housing was stable first, and that's what we're trying to get. We're saying if you have a stable home, your kid, you know, now has a reason maybe, hopefully, to study and do his homework. You have a room maybe where the child can do their homework. You develop healthier habits about I'm safe and stable in my home. I can go to the local grocery store and find out where I'm going to get food. You have seniors who are spending their twilight years in comfort. And if you're moving around, bouncing around, and you don't have a stable home, how do you get, access to health? How do you get access to solid, stable education? One of the experiences I relate is when in the early 2000s I volunteered as a court-appointed special advocate, which is an advocate volunteer for abused and neglected children that enter the foster care system. And one of my children under my charge was a 12-year-old, mentally disabled, operated on a maybe second grade level, bounced around from foster home to group home, back to family home. When I finally pushed the system to have him removed and put in permanent foster care with two dads, this kid in 6 months went from second grade to sixth grade thinking level. And yeah, it's a lot of time and energy and nurturing of these two guys who permanently took him in. But it was really just the fact that he now had a home he was going to every day, the same home, the same room. You get used to the toys in your room. You get used to the comforts of seeing the same people. And as a result, this kid went from kind of wandering around with a second grader brain to a sixth grader brain at 13. So to me, it was monumental how it changed because this kid finally got in a stable home. So he finally had a dentist, where you go from foster home to group home. When are you going to ever have somebody take the time to get you to a dentist that maybe you'll see more than once that remembers the history of just dental records? It's little things that we don't really necessarily remember, or again, like we take for granted that we have these things that when you don't have a stable home, it slaps you in the face. It's right up in there, right up in your face of wow, if I don't have a stable home, I'm losing out on all these other things. And that's what we're really trying to push with this movement is get America to understand that, you're stating something obvious that your home matters. Obviously, air, I want to breathe air. I want to be able to drink water and eat food. Let's get you excited about, that your home has all these other impacts and, start connecting you to the organizations across the country that are making that happen for people, low income, moderate income, that everybody succeeds, everybody is bettered because of what those organizations are doing, and that's really the essence of our movement.
All right, and we're live on the phone with Dave Brown. We're looking at the Home Matters, a new national movement to raise awareness of housing just as the most most basic building block of community, family, and who we are as people. And I want to flip this issue around and say, here in Portland, we have incredible housing advocates, right? Amazing people. And they have created a coalition, right? And part of why this is an issue, I'm just going to flip this over and say every single solitary year now, the housing safety net in Portland is on the chopping block every single solitary year now. And so we have this fabulous campaign by a coalition of people, a coalition of organizations that have come together. And their website is wearethesafetynet.org. You know that, of course, listeners, Street Roots is just bedrock in this movement. But actually, the housing safety net in Portland is really, 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 really interesting because it includes NAYA, the Native American Youth Association. It includes, like I said, Street Roots. You have Reach Development. You have all these different people, Community Land Trust. Ooh, I think they changed their name. You have amazing people that do all kinds of things. But every single year, they have to turn around to City Hall during the budget season and justify their existence. And what is really remarkable to me, listeners and Dave, is how you know, some of these organizations, I'm just going to read a little bit. So if people want more information about how to plug in, Dave is talking about a new national movement. But what he's really urging people to do is plug into your local organizations and your local community and make a difference, right? And so at Street Roots, they have a big link over to the We Are Safety Net website. And listen, this is the thing that's interesting. It's a coalition of groups that do rent assistance, homebuyer and foreclosure prevention support. This is the safety net, right? Shelter and emergency services, self-sufficiency services, and housing services access. These groups have all gotten together on their own because they realize that if they start agitating for money separately, that actually it makes all of their work more difficult. And so I really want to encourage people that are active with community organizations to give us a call and talk about how your work has been on the chopping block, because I know there are people listening right now. We would love to hear, Reach Development, Street Roots also, all these different, there's organizations that people here have never even heard of before, but they need public support. So if you're working for a community housing organization, give us a call and talk about your work, 503-231-8187. And Dave Brown, Home Matters, homematters.com. Now, you were in Portland on Monday. You guys did a kickoff, right? Who was there? What was it like?
It was great. We had a great launch at the Portland Center Stage. Just a exciting, interesting, neat space to, again, assist with this big, bold brand that has bright colors, that's very exciting, very warm and engaging. We had several speakers from the private sector in banks to a local pastor and everyone comes up and they start talking about HomeMatters. No one has talking points. No one has scripts. They just start, talking from the heart and from the home about what home means to them. And, we did something similar in Washington where we had senators, Republicans, Democrats. Everybody is very eager to tell you about what home is to them. And the launch here in Portland, as it was dubbed our West Coast launch, didn't skip a beat. We launched officially nationally on March 12th, and then again here on the West Coast May 6th. And it's something that the momentum is continuing to build. The excitement is continuing to build. That it's not surprising when you put out a very simple question that people are excited to answer, like what does home mean to you. You're going to get excitement, you're going to get energy, and now it's a matter of capturing that energy and saying, hey, now that you know the importance of your home, let's get you to do something about it. Let's get you to enter the national debate. Let's get you to call members of Congress. Let's get you to engage your neighbors. Let's get you to engage your community leaders so that they understand the importance of home, and it rises on the national priority list with all the other things that are important to our country. Let's make home important too.
Yeah, and listeners, look, I'm putting this out to you. We need some people to give us a call and just join this conversation. I feel like Dave's the point of what Dave is saying is kind of it's being reflected in the fact that people aren't calling to share. Like, what are your housing priorities, listeners? That's what I'm asking you. Okay, I've been doing a lot of research lately on homeowners associations. Right, I never thought much about it. Homeowners associations, because we always assume that only rich people live in some place where there is a homeowners association, but that's not true at all. And with the big housing bubble, right, a lot of working class and blue collar people bought into condo developments, townhouses and stuff that now they live under homeowners associations. And this is so obscure, people probably don't think much about it, but there are so many unbelievable abuses in homeowners association boards because almost basically the entire industry is all but unregulated. And so we're seeing people that are getting their homes foreclosed. We're seeing soldiers in Iraq where the homeowners association boards are trying to foreclose. This one guy in Florida, they foreclosed on his home because they said he wasn't paying his dues and stuff like that. The guy was, and so even with soldiers, by the way, people in the military, I think that's a special issue that I actually don't always see that included in the current safety net and configuration that we see. Although I know a lot of people are trying to serve people coming out of the military with housing, but it's like, even this issue of housing for people coming out of the military, there's special laws that require, community institutions to give jobs and housing to people who are soldiers. But some of the things that come into this issue really fascinate me. So we are the safetynet.org. This is what I'm talking about, people. That coalition, the Safety Net Coalition, includes the Coalition of Community Health Clinics, right? Hacienda CDC, we love them. Join. And if you listeners right now, if you are having housing problems or if you know someone who is, someone in your family, you need to call 211 Info. They are a real clearinghouse. But look, callers, I really want to encourage people to call up. If you were able to midwife a new national movement, not just for you and political people in Portland, but for your auntie in Cleveland and my mother in Hillmar, California, that's what we're really talking about now. We're brainstorming on how to get the other people on the page with us. What would you want to make sure is included in that movement? Okay, 503-231-8187. We have James on the phone. James, what's going on, man?
Good morning. I happen to be one of the homeless, so I would like to weigh in. The reason we have a problem with homelessness because our economy has been turned over to international bankers. And what they're doing is squeezing us. Any national movement will be co-opted by international bankers because they control our government. The movement that needs to be done is to restore federalism. Local communities using grand juries to go after these criminals, if you will.
All right, James. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. James is pointing out kind of basically, he's basically underlining the political aspect of this issue, Dave. But Dave, what I kind of hear you saying as you're going out and you're rolling out this movement, literally, I mean, what I hear you saying is you're trying to get the Martha Stewarts on the same page as Joanne. Right? And that's what I hear you saying. That's really what's happening here, right?
Well, in you know, the cousins, sisters, brothers, mm-hmm. family of Martha Stewart and Joanne, you know,
Alexis.
Everyday Americans who say, gee, what happened in Boston was horrible. What are we doing about terrorism? Or what happened in Sandy Hook was horrible. What are we doing about guns? You know, what's happening with homelessness, what's happening with lack of affordable housing, that's bad too. And now, you know, I want to do something about it. I want to become engaged. And I want to, you know, start talking about it. The genesis of Home Matters was really, let's just interact with Americans and say, hey, your home means something, tell us about it. And are you willing to do something about it down the road? I mean, this industry is very good and has been very good from an advocacy standpoint about talking to Capitol Hill, in Washington, D.C. about the issues. But with any issue, if you want to get Congress moving on it, you got to start taking yourself out of the special interest pigeonhole. You got to start thinking about constituents outside the regular constituents they always hear from, and expanding your base so that when a member of Congress is poised to do something around housing or the debate is now become live, you know, you have people outside the housing circles who are always talking about it and saying you need to do X, Y, and Z. To regular Americans saying, you know, I want to do X, Y, and Z. When the gun legislation passed, you know, there were senators across the country who voted one way or another, and they heard about it from constituents. You know, if there is a housing bill debated, we'd hope to have the same, robust outreach to members of Congress as a result of the way a senator or representative voted, because they're engaged. Right now, if there was a housing vote, I don't know very many senators or reps who would get calls one way or the other about their vote, and that's what we're hoping to change ultimately with Home Matters is you want to talk about housing, then you're going to talk about my home, and because of Home Matters, I care about that. And I'm involved and engaged, and I'm going to tell you what I think.
Dave, I mean, and I said this to you last week, that when I first heard this, I thought it was so squishy. But when you put when you say what you just said, that's what shows it's not squishy at all, right?
Right.
And we have a couple callers. Let's go to the phone line. Vernon, what's going on?
Good morning, Lisa. Back in 91, I traveled across Africa, and I was in very, very poor areas, and I was struck by the fact that nobody there was homeless. It was really It's what Nyerere called ujamaa, which often gets translated as socialism, but it really is, it's from the Swahili, it's familyness. I think we need African missionaries to come to the U.S. and teach us how to live again.
Dude, I was freaked out at first, but I'm with you there. Yes, I think that's an awesome idea.
We've lost touch with how our family relates to the place where we live, because we're such a mobile society. You know, when I look at my friends from Africa, you know, you can say, well, where did your grandfather come from? It's the same damn village that they come from, and it goes back for 1,000 years. When I look at my history, you know, my father came from North Dakota. I came from Montana. His father came from somewhere in Ohio. You know, they keep going back until, you know, you get to England. We're really mobile. And that has affected how we relate to our place.
The African continent's really mobile, too. There's been millions of people displaced in different ways. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, wars.
It's completely fascinating.
I'm talking more about Zambia, where there hasn't been all that much.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Thanks a lot for calling. Vernon, I'm with that idea. I really think that we should reach out more to other countries that we think are less developed than us. It reminds me of that old slogan, civilization is an ancient forest, right? It's like, hello, knock, knock. And we do have another caller. We have John on the phone. John, what's going on with you?
Hi, great show, good topics. I hope I'm not too far off base. This is about apartment. I live in an apartment and fell upstairs. I've known for a couple of years, and he just moved from an apartment building where some new owners took over, and it appears they follow this kind of the Romney Bain Capital model. You know, go in and raid the place and try to scam all the apartment dwellers. And what their deal is they are not maintaining the building. And so he's had a tremendous problem with mold. So he's fighting them on mold issues and moved out. And he said he will file suit if he has to. And what they're trying to do is bluff other tenants into accepting the situation and just paying fines as they go or maintenance as they go. Have you got any suggestions for apartment dwellers with incompetent or crooked or corrupt landlords? Appreciate
John,
it.
Yeah, John, honey, it's called CAT. It's the Community Alliance of Tenants. I'm going to look up the contact information. And what, you know, anyway, Community Alliance of Tenants. If you have the time to look it up, I will try to look it up after I get off the air really quick here. But
oh well, thank you, Community Alliance. And I'm sorry, the last
yeah,
part.
Community Alliance of Tenants.
Oh,
is an
you.
Activist. It's a advocacy and activist and training organization here in Portland. They actually have advocates that you can get on the phone. Community Alliance of Tenants, Portland. I'm just looking it up really quick. And, you know, so Dave Brown, kind of what our caller is just pointing out is that, you know, one of the things that's going to make home matters difficult in the long term is that there are so many diverse issues around housing. Like he's talking
thank
about, you.
You
know, I've got a basic rental thing, but so that means I don't have power over it, but I have to live here and the mold is killing me. It's like these issues around construction, mold, sick buildings, and then other issues around how do you, like, even the people who are like trying to control the apartment, the owners, these, it's such a big pizza, Dave Brown. It's a gigantic pizza.
It is, and that's the challenge with Home Matters, but where we also feel it's the opportunity. This industry is so wide. You know, and to the caller's situation, you can also check out nationalfairhousing.org. That's the National Fair Housing Alliance, a national group with local chapters who help, you know, advocate based on what he just said. So nationalfairhousing.org. But, you know, it's unfortunate that people still have to deal with unclean or moldy living spaces. And when you think about America and you think about, you know, the wealth and all the other things that people go into when they talk about the great country, you know, we shouldn't have to screw around with somebody has mold, and that it should just be taken care of. And what we hope to highlight with Home Matters is we shine the spotlight, you know, shine it on the mold. It's something where there's all these different parts of housing in America and community development. You know, moldy apartments and landlords who won't clean it are one. And, you know, like I just mentioned, the National Fair Housing Alliance is a national group, you know, where this is national, regional, local groups that takes care of those sorts of things. How many people in America know that that's what they do and that's what they've been doing for, 25 years? That's what we're trying to highlight, that there are groups out there, local groups who can help, national groups who can help, nonprofits out there who can get you into clean, mold-free homes. And can we get America to care about that those groups are doing that and have been doing that for, you know, decades? That's the excitement and also challenge with Home Matters.
And John, okay, Oregon Community Alliance of Tenants, it's OregonCAT.org. I'm on their website. They got a lot of stuff just on their website. 35,000 renters have been counseled on their rights as tenants by volunteers on our renters' rights hotline. So OregonCAT.org. And actually, you know, when I first talked with Dave Brown about this, I won't lie to you, last week I thought this was so squishy, in part because we live in Portland and we had such a vibrant Occupy, and really Occupy brought a lot of housing issues to the fore in some good ways and some bad ways, but they made it so that people had to look at it and they had to deal with it. And there was a lot of people who literally were like, oh, really? I certainly don't care about those filthy people. It was interesting because people couldn't hide their stripes in that way. But what I like really big time about Home Matters is just this opportunity to try to hook people up to existing organizations that do so much of this work, and people don't comment on it, because the point Dave Brown is making is that housing as an issue is not sexy like bombs, right? And yet it is like a bomb in our local communities. It impacts people's lives immediately and really profoundly. And we have a couple more callers. We have Heidi on the phone. Heidi, what's going on with you today?
Hey, Lisa. I just wanted to, first of all, I wanted you guys to talk about, if you know about this, I think there's a difference between homeless and houseless. And I think that folks that we call homeless, I think they call themselves houseless. I think it's been raised on one of the KBOO programs, but I wanted to, if either one of you have any knowledge about that, so that when we are labeling people, I mean, you guys haven't done, I don't think there's any issue with that, but I've noticed as I pay closer attention to this that there's an issue with that and how we label people and the psychology behind that. The reason why I'm calling is because I live out in Tigard and there's really no safety net out here. There's community action, but I basically had to sell my car yesterday to try and pay my rent. So, and yet I was walking to Portland State the other day and I walked past a couple of people laying on the doorsteps of churches with no place else to go. And I'm just looking around me, opening my eyes wide, and I'm thinking, even if I'm stressed, that constant insecurity about how I'm going to take care of me and my daughter is still the fact that I can get on the MAX and go home to a safe place to live. And then I think it's going to take people the guy that I work for is like this elite privileged guy who won't even give me any more hours so that I can make up the difference to take care of it. And he basically like looks at me like, well, it's my own fault and I don't know how to deal with that. At the same time, I'm still thinking, I still know where I'm going and I'm still going to a home and my daughter has a safe place to go. And yeah, it sucks that I have to sell my car and take the bus, but I think it's constantly thinking about our priorities and how it feels like to be in a situation. And I just wanted to kind of raise that issue. And I just wanted to let people know, Portland seems to have a lot more availability for programs. But those of us out in suburbia, like community action is pretty much it. And they said because of the budget crisis down the line, they're not going to have any money. And they basically, there's no help for people like myself. So I just want to throw that into the conversation. Thank you very much for this conversation as well.
So, Heidi rocks. We love Heidi. Thank you for calling, Heidi. Listen, listeners, who's got an idea and a resource for Heidi? Please give us a call. Give us a call right away. 503-231-8187. So what I hear Heidi saying is that her issue is she's facing a crunch. She's facing an economic crunch. Her employer is not sympathetic. We're here live on the phone with Dave Brown rolling out this Home Matters national movement, literally to educate Heidi's freaking employer about the fact that housing matters. And when she's talking to him about why she needs this extra these extra hours to keep herself from falling on the street with her kid. I think that's pretty much exactly what Dave Brown is going towards. Look, callers, I mean, come on. Who's got a resource for Heidi on that? And we have some more callers. We have Marie. Marie, what's going on with you today?
Hi, good morning, and I love KBOO. The issue I wanted to bring up, and by the way, the whole housing thing is fantastic. This is such a primal need for everyone. But the issue I wanted to bring up is apartments that I live in, they will not allow people to grow vegetables. They are not allowed. It is some kind of government agency involved. There was a very wonderful, dear neighbor, planted vegetables this spring. They went over there and made her take those up. She had to have flowers only, no vegetables. And I believe that our right to the land, to access to growing food, is part of a housing issue, that we not only have to live somewhere, we need to be eating real food. And so I think that I would love to see a whole program devoted to that, because I think that there's a lot of agencies. The particular apartments these are, they proclaim that they are a green group. That's part of their advertising. And it's really a lie when they will not allow people to grow vegetables in their little tiny patio area.
Marie, I'm going
to... Not in containers. They can do containers, but they cannot do them in the dirt itself.
Marie, I'm going to ask you where you live and if we're allowed to call or write to you, whoever owns that facility, to tell them what we think about it. Would you feel comfortable sharing us with us, whatever?
I could offline, off the radio, be glad to tell you, but I feel a little worried on the radio.
Because you're worried. Is it a government housing?
Yeah. But off radio, I could, after the program or whatever, be happy to give you information, but I feel a little bit worried right online.
Okay, if you could even...
And it is Hood River.
It's Hood River. So you could tell, you could even also share this with the engineer. The engineer could get on the phone with you and get the information about where Marie lives, so that we can be familiar with this housing complex that makes it so you cannot grow vegetables. We have this issue in the city of Portland with trees, street trees. You're not supposed to be allowed to grow fruit trees in your median. And it's like one of these things where you're only allowed to plant like three different species of trees in your street median, because they don't want fruit falling on the sidewalk or something like that. Interferes with power lines, what have you. And it's basically it's a home matters issue. I would say that, Dave Brown. Anyway, Marie, stay on hold, and the engineer's going to get your this information so that maybe we can follow up with you about this. And Dave Brown, does Dave Brown want to comment on any of the things he's heard so far? Because now we're coming at you, Dave Brown, with people's real world stuff. What do you think?
Right, and that's what's exciting about it is, go to homemattersamerica.com. Take a picture of your beautiful vegetable garden. Say, home is my vegetable garden. Let me keep it. It again, Home Matters is apolitical. It's intentionally so. It's just something where everybody's home means something different to them. Tell us about it. We capture you. We capture that idea. We share it with everybody else in the world and say, hey, having a vegetable garden is something important to me. And I don't want flowers. I want vegetables. Shoot us a photo, tweet us, put it up on our website so that people can see in Portland, Oregon, this is something that means something. This is what one individual's home means to them. And again, it's everybody's story is different. Everybody's frame of reference of how they look at their home, their home they're in now, the home they wish they were in, the fact that they have a home. The other caller's point that I may have had to sell my car. I got a indifferent boss, but at least I have somewhere to go home to that is mine and it's my space. I mean, that there's the, Home Matters is really about providing someone with comfort. We live in roofs and walls for a reason, and it's not the roof and walls that necessarily gives us the comfort. It's the fact that we have somewhere where we can share life with other people, our families, friends, the TV, books. It's something where people really. Again, take it for granted, and we're trying to say, hey, tell us about what makes your home comfortable. Tell us about if it's your rental, your apartment, your government housing, your home, your mortgaged home. Tell us about those things, because we want to get you excited about once you're excited about your home, you're excited about maybe doing something about your neighbor's home or the people that don't have a home. And Congress's attention to this idea that people should have a home, and that's homemattersamerica.com. Go there, and it's very interactive, and we look forward to all the stories.
And I'm going to put this out too, Dave. There's a lot of people that we know that don't have any computer access. They don't know how to use Twitter or anything. So what the piece of this overall housing pizza that you have, I think, is fair to say that you're basically focusing on not necessarily what's happening with Joanne's life, but trying to educate people like Heidi's employer. You're literally trying to bring the people that are outside of this understanding inside to the understanding. So, I mean, I think it takes a lot of pieces to make up this one big puzzle. And sometimes it is important to pull out the piece that we're going to use to try to bring literally the more privileged people into an understanding of this issue. I think that's a key point that you're trying to make. And do we have a caller? Did we have another caller? We have Ed on the phone. Ed, what are you doing today? What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I want to agree with one of the previous callers when he brought the issue about the international bankers. Yeah. You know, I think it's so discouraging that people are so unable to see through all the smoke that's going on. I mean, we as a society would have been so much better off if instead of bailing out the banks, that we would have given a house to every veteran that we have in the country. Just, it would have improved our society, our economy, almost in every way. But now what we have is, we have this situation where neighborhoods are falling apart, people don't have a place to live, the economy is going down because there's not money being put back into the economy.
All right, so Ed's putting that on the table. You were going to say something else, Ed? We get the point that it really is about the banks in so many ways. It is, too.
Well, it really is, and the thing is that people are stuck in this idea where we say, well, you can't just give things away. You can't just give houses away. And, you know, on the surface, that seems true. Like it wouldn't be a smart thing to do, but they just keep getting fooled into doing things that are not in their own self-interest.
Well, we do corporate welfare all the time. We just don't want to help actual people. We're running out of show, Ed. I'm going to cut you loose. Ed is basically kind of pointing out some of the limits maybe or what should be addressed in the next phase of the Home Matters. But the sense I get with the Home Matters is really, as I was saying, looking at the privileged classes of people, the people who really could make more of a difference if they just had an understanding or thought about it. And this is one of those things where this movement is literally trying to show people what they see every day but have kind of become desensitized to. We have another caller. Let's get in this last caller. We've got Bill. Bill, we're running out of show. Put it on a bumper sticker. What's going on?
Is we need to come up with different types and designs in housing. Why is it that a person that may be homeless or, as previous callers said, without housing, they may desire a space like they have over in Japan, these tubes that people go in, and they can build these. Those are needed. And the other, but my comment really is about there are so many conditions that automatically keep people from getting into housing, such as you have the people, if they're a violent criminal that has recently out of prison or they did it 20 years ago, most people will not take them. If it's a sexual predator, people are always screaming about, oh, he's living on the street here. We need to welcome, we need to have housing for everyone. When we don't allow one person to have housing, then we have a problem.
Right on,
and
Bill.
As FDR said, everyone should have a house. And it's politics, it's the Republican Party that has wiped out funds, and the county here, what was it, Washington County?
I got to cut you loose, Bill. We got 45 seconds. Bill's got some really great points there, and I do want to say some Democrats have done a few things not to necessarily help housing, too. I'm not even going to put that all at the Republicans. David Brown, you got a big job ahead of you.
Yep.
Yeah, right on.
Exciting one.
It is exciting. And just listening to the last few callers, I mean, this is a big movement. That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, David Brown. Find out more at homematters.america.com. Also on this issue locally, weareoregon.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis in Albany. The time is 9 o'clock straight up. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, your host Linda Olson Osterlund interviews reporter Jeremy Scahill about his new book, Dirty Wars, which is based on his years on the ground reporting across the globe where he has uncovered the scope of the CIA's covert wars. At 10 o'clock on Air Cascadia, host Chris Andre speaks with Jeffrey Clements, co-founder of Free Speech for People and author of Corporations Are Not People. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, hear coverage of the politics behind Syria, the recent garment factory collapse in Bangladesh, as well as a report from the UN on the sarin gas story. And at 11 o'clock, it's The Dirtbag with your host, Glenn Andreessen.
KBOO Community Radio continues the broadcast of the 2013 Ilahi Lecture Series on Wednesday, May 8th, when we'll broadcast a talk by Jeffrey Clements.
An attorney and author, Jeffrey Clements is the co-founder of Free Speech for People, a national, nonpartisan campaign challenge, the creation of constitutional rights for corporations, overturn Citizens United versus FEC, and strengthen American democracy and self-government. Clements is the author of Corporations Are Not People.
Jeffrey Clements will be speaking at the First Congregational Church in Portland, and KBOO will broadcast the talk live at 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 8th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/Ilahi2013.
KBOO Community Radio and the Board of Directors for the Oregon Music Hall of Fame congratulates Aaron Reyes, Evan Carlson, Mayu Sato-Beckman, and Tatiana Hargraves for winning college scholarships from the Oregon Music Hall of Fame. These musicians will be performing at Jimmy Mack's in Portland, Oregon on May 14th from 5:30 to 7:30. Following their presentation, the Mel Brown Septet will perform as part of Jimmy Mack's Partners in Jazz series. More information about these performers and the Oregon Music Hall of Fame scholarship program can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Have you heard about the Melting Pot Silent Mobile Dance Parties?
Silent dance. Doesn't sound very fun.
Actually, it's a lot of fun. Picture 200 people dancing with headphones to the same music. The Melting Pot Radio Show will have a series of silent dance parties from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesdays in Portland parks and public spaces. That's Tuesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. For more information and this week's location, go to kboo.fm/silent dance parties.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO. You're listening to Political Perspectives, and I'm your host today, Linda Olson Osterlund. My guest is Jeremy Scahill. He's an award-winning investigative journalist covering America's war zones, sending us reports from the former Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, and probably some other countries I don't even know about. You may remember him as the author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. He's in town for a reading at Powell's Books this evening. He's joining me in the KBOO studios today to talk about his brand new book, Dirty Wars, The World is a Battlefield. So thanks for coming to KBOO, Jeremy.
It's always awesome to be in community radio stations. I've been on this station several times, but always by phone. So it's nice to, it feels like coming home when I come into a community radio station.
Well, thank you. We sure love to have you here. You know, your book, Dirty Wars, traces the post-9/11 growth of a new
new type of U.S. military, something most people have been noticing. There's a change in our military, and it isn't just that they're pulling some troops out of some places. We're waging a new style of war, and in more than five countries simultaneously. It's the best book of its kind that I've read, and it's filled with detail and dialogue.
You.
I really do recommend it. It's an engrossing read. You won't want to put it down, and you'll learn a lot. So can you trace for our listeners this development from a troop-bound, traditional form of warfare, big old, battleships everywhere, and that kind of infrastructure, to the kind of warfare we're actually waging today?
Right. Well, when 9/11 happened, Donald Rumsfeld, who was the defense secretary at the time, and Dick Cheney, of course, who was the vice president, those two had spent a good part of their career trying to create a reality where the executive branch of government was essentially a dictatorship when it came to setting national security policy or foreign policy. And they viewed Congress as just serving the function of funding the operations. And if there was any oversight at all that Congress would appropriately be involved with, it was just overseeing how the money was spent, but not having anything to do with overseeing the operations. And of course, there was a conflict at the time of 9/11 between the CIA and the military over who was going to be in charge of hunting down the people responsible for the 9/11.